Welcome to Crit Like a Girl, where it's all sugar, spice, and everything dice.
On Crit Like a Girl, Sildwyn and Jinx converse about what has occurred within the cave and the aftermath. The team meets back up to figure out what the next step will be. During this meeting, Grandpa Rot has earned his new name. Everyone decides to head to Drakartha, which is Poppy's hometown. En route there, the team come upon some destroyed carts that seem rather suspicious. Their suspicions were correct, as Poppy learns that this is indeed a trap. And this is where our story begins.
Poppy, your suspicions definitely proved to be correct, and you are not surprised. However, it seems like that this man is very much trained and pushes himself up off the ground, immediately giving up on his feigned injury and puts his fingers to his lip and blows out a sharp whistle, and from the rocks around you emerge about five of what looks like raven-like humanoids with kind of scarves covering their head, three of which have short bows and two of which seem to have short swords, and immediately they begin to kind of cackle at you, and you hear one of them in a very similar voice to the man who just stood up, "Help! Help us! Help!" and like immediately burst into laughter afterwards. Some of you guys would know these are Kinku, and the man kind of stands up and claps his hands and goes, "All right, get to it." And he is going to step towards you, Poppy. All of the Kinku, with Poppy as their only target because Poppy ran forward, the three with short bows are going to try and fire upon you. So immediately firing off these Kinku, it looks like they are very well trained for this. They are very good at hiding and very good at the jobs that they did, will fire off from these three different arrows that just pierce into you from different angles.
Holy fuck. And also I'm going to be casting Hellish Rebuke. Thanks.
Okay. Which one would you like to do it at? There are three different.
Whichever one did the most damage.
That would be the first one.
As she gets hit with these arrows, she's going to kind of throw her hand out and in a line towards one of the creatures who are attacking them, a series of thorns will kind of just like pierce through the ground and towards the creature, and like underneath its feet it'll just come up with these like large thorns.
The one that is being aimed at does manage to kind of skitter and hop to the side in like a bird-like manner, not quite fast enough to avoid all of them, but at least not taking the full brunt of them. It does look like the thorns do a heavy bit of damage, and immediately it starts making the sound of like a child crying, and like kind of grips itself and like looks around wildly. Does not look like it is used to being hurt in return. The last two Kinku will kind of circle around using their full movement. They are going to try and get between Poppy and the rest of the group, kind of circling around and wielding their short swords, seeming to try and split up the party. Poppy, it is your turn.
After these thorns kind of appear in the ground, she'll kind of twist towards the man. And knowing that he is the leader of these creatures, clearly, she will point at him. A smoky purple fog will come out of her fingers. She'll mutter something under her breath. A symbol will appear above his head, and he is now hexed. She will take her sword out and slash at him. That was 10 damage total.
Would you like to move away from him, or are you going to stay where you are?
She'll stay where she is right now.
In which case, Sildwyn, there are two kind of raven-like humanoids between you and your compatriot.
Okay.
Who is facing down, kind of a larger man. He seems to be wearing plain clothes over armor, but now that he is kind of standing up, you can see that he does have weapons on him.
Okay. Currently, are we all kind of close together? Like, is Poppy within 30 feet of me at the moment?
Poppy ran ahead to go get this guy.
Okay. So she's quite a bit further away.
I would say she is probably ahead. You could probably get within 30 feet of her, but it would put you right up on where these lovely bird friends are.
Okay. I think all I'm going to do, I'm probably not going to move this turn, but she is going to cast Aura of Vitality and turn into a large dire wolf.
Okay.
And the way that I imagine this looks is that everywhere she steps, something is blossoming beneath her paws.
There is a radiating aura coming off of you that is very, like, soothing and generally makes everyone feel better. And even on this, like, well-worn dirt path where, like, hundreds and hundreds of carts have passed through and trampled this into, like, a flat dirt, there are flowers springing up, finding life impossibly in a place where life has not been a little while.
I can't do much else than that, and I'm not gonna run up to the burbs at the moment.
Zuri.
Okay, how close are the kinku to me?
They're about 30 feet in front of you. They seem to be trying to block off the path and just kind of split you guys up. The two directly in front of you are the ones that are wielding short swords, and they seem to be kind of crouched and waiting.
I would like to cast Suggestion on one of the kinkus.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, what do you suggest?
Zuri's going to make eye contact with one of them. You really don't want to fight us. You want to go into the forest and go take a nap.
It cocks its head at you for a moment, seeming very confused. And then after a moment, you hear your own voice being echoed back at you. Nah, do not know if it has taken hold. You will find that out next turn.
Zuri grabs, like, the handle of her rapier. Like, doesn't pull it out yet. She's just, like, preparing as a just-in-case deal.
Jinx.
Jinx is going to run away and hide in the forest.
Well, that is very difficult to do because you are surrounded by mountains on both sides.
I am going to run and hide behind something.
You could find kind of like a rocky outcropping that you would be able to kind of tuck yourself back into pretty easily.
And I am going to cast Disguise Self and make myself look like a kinku.
You look like a kinku.
Alright, that is my action. So now I'm going to get up and I'll have like their bow that I'll be like holding up and acting like I'm about to shoot it at one of my friends and just walking by as close to the guy who was originally pretending to be hurt. Like, I'm trying to get to him.
So I will say you can move towards them. You have used your action, so you would be able to get to about where they are now looking like kinku. I would like you to make me a deception check with advantage because you do look like a kinku. So I have to figure out how this works. While I figure out how the fuck this works, it is going to be the bandit captain's turn unless there's anything else you would like to do.
That's it.
Okay. The captain, looking at you, Poppy, is going to kind of grin, looking around at his kinku compatriots who have just done a decent amount of damage, and is going to move forward, pulling out a scimitar in one hand and a dagger in the other. He is going to try and hit you. He slashes the scimitar across you, but the scimitar, as he brings it back around, doesn't quite connect with you, and he is kind of put off balance by missing that second slash at you, and the dagger just goes wide as he thrusts it with his offhand. He kind of just twirls his scimitar as he, like, steps back again and kind of glancing very briefly past you to where your friends are blocked off and doing what seems to be a quick mental count as he notices a new kinku. Here's the interesting part. One of the kinku with the short sword definitely believes that you are fine and his friend. The other one is currently suggested to go take a nap. So that one, looking at you suspiciously, Jinx, kind of just looks at you and cocks its head and then shrugs and starts wandering off in a random direction. The three with short bows, however, very confused by what is happening right now, two of them are going to try and fire again on Poppy, who is the only other person super close to them. The third one is going to kind of cock its head at where Jinx is walking in what it perceives to be the wrong direction and just like notch an arrow at her and then hesitate and pause, and it's just going to waste its turn doing nothing because it doesn't know what to think right now. It is going to be Poppy's turn. What I need you to do is I do need you to make me a constitution saving throw to see if you manage to hold your hex. You're holding on to hex. You're doing okay.
So what I'm gonna do right here real quick, okay, is I'm going to cast Healing Word. She will mutter something in Primordial, and then she will look like a little less rough than she did, but she's still looking pretty darn bad. She's taking quite a few hits. She's got arrows still sticking out of her, at least two of them, and a pretty large gash. Because of this, she looks incredibly pissed, and she just narrows her gaze at this dude. She'll take her finger, point it towards him again. The sound of a bell will ring through, and she's casting Toll the Dead. All right, that's all I'd be doing.
Sildwyn, you are a glowy healy wolf.
Yes, I am. And I have 50 feet of movement speed. I would like to get close to Poppy.
Are you trying to move around the one Kenku with a short sword that is still kind of in your path?
Yes, I would be trying to move around them in an effort not to proc an attack of opportunity.
Okay. So that will take a little bit out of your movement, but you are still going to be able to get about 10 feet past them. You'd be about 20 feet from Poppy. But I believe that is within your aura, correct?
Yes, that is within my aura. I'm not close enough to attack anybody, though, am I?
If you would like to attack the Kenku, you can absolutely get to the Kenku and still be within 30 feet of Poppy.
In which case, let's do that. This glowy, healy, gigantic, horse-sized wolf is going to glomp a bird. She's charging this Kenku. Full-body linebacker tackle.
Yeah, this very, very poorly armored bird.
The poorly armored bird goes down, and Sildwyn just bites into him. So it is tackled, taken down to the ground, a big chonk bit out of it. Sildwyn looks up, spits feathers, and that will be the end of my turn.
Unless you would like to describe it, I imagine just from where Sildwyn is, this line of like flowers and plant growth kind of begins to spring up, spreading out, and it makes kind of a line to Poppy's feet, and you just feel this like life energy infuse into you from where the growth is happening.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you can read my mind.
Zuri.
What's around me?
About 30 feet in front of you, there is a pinned Kenku with a big old direwolf on top of it. And then another Kenku who you're pretty sure came from your direction and you didn't see him the first time. And seems to be acting a little funky compared to the rest of them. And then about 30 feet past that, there is Poppy and a bandit captain and some other Kenku kind of in the rocks.
Zuri's gonna notice the sus Kenkus. Be like... just get a weird look like, I don't know if I should attack that one.
Make an insight check.
Like, she's currently giving the stink eye at it like,
Seems weird, hasn't attacked you. You have no reason to believe this is not a normal-ass Kenku. Do with that information what you will.
Well, Sari doesn't know any better right now, so I'm sorry. How close is the weird Kenku to Zuri?
30 feet.
She's gonna cast Vicious Mockery on that one. The only thing you've ever defeated are high expectations.
Alright, Jinx, please make a saving throw against Zuri's Vicious Mockery. You feel this insult, like, kind of hit you and weave into your mind, and for, like, half a second, you're just like, wow, Zuri, that was really mean, and you're like, oh, I'm a fucking Kenku right now, she doesn't, okay. Like, is there anything else you would like, any bonus actions, or would you like to move?
Pull her rapier and get closer to the not-sus Kenku.
Okay. You can approach the not sus Kenku. It does have a dire wolf on top of it, and there are a couple more in the rocks that have short bows that are kind of hanging out. Jinx,
can I make it up to Poppy and what were you calling it? The pirate something?
The bandit captain. Yeah.
The bandit captain.
Yeah.
I will clasp my holy symbol, which just looks really weird in the disguise form. And I'm going to cast on the bandit captain, inflict wounds at third level.
Jesus. Okay. So as you approach, he does give you a weird look and just be like, what are you doing? Get the others. And as you reach out for him, roll to hit. Jinx, as a Kenku, just casually strolls up to the bandit captain, who looks at her and is like, what are you doing? You should be attacking the others. And reaches out as a Kenku and just taps him somewhere. And then I will let Jinx describe what horrible thing happens to this man.
Slowly, not slowly, very quickly blossoms a bunch of mushrooms and no longer lives.
Immediately, like with no pause between this action, you just hear the clatter of several weapons hitting the ground and abrupt panicked squawking as all of the Kenku just put their hands up and stare at you in like wonder as they watch what they presume to be one of their own murder this man that has, like, led them for so long.
Jinx is gonna turn around and look at all her brethren and go, we are free!
Poppy's just gonna turn and look at her. Is she still in King Jinx-Ku form?
Yes, absolutely. Not reverting back.
Okay, so Poppy's gonna just look at this bird next to her and be like, what the fuck?
Don't blow my cover.
Slowly the other Kenku climb down from the rocks. The one that is still pinned under Sildwin will try and get to its feet and like just looks at Sildwin and looks at the bird, looks at Jinx-Ku and looks at Sildwin and looks at Jinx-Ku, like not sure what it's doing. And a single lone Kenku continues to walk down the road away from everything towards whatever forest may be nearby as the other four kind of surround Jinx for a moment. There's a lot of like cawing and clicking sounds and kind of a cacophony of different voices that they have picked up over time and are mimicking, and you just hear free Kenku, free free. Oh, different sounds, kind of both human and just kind of random noises you wouldn't expect to hear, like the chime of a bell, the sound of one of them makes the sound of what you presume to be fireworks as they just kind of cluster around. Jinx-Ku, looking very concerned at Poppy, who they have been shooting, but like still have their hands up kind of like in surrender and are just waiting.
Jinx will go, friend.
Friend, 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 friend.
She's just kind of trying to like mimic their way of talking and like express to them we mean no harm now.
What do the rest of you do in this moment?
Poppy's still just staring at her, and then all of the birds as they're like, friend, friend. She's just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, so Sildwin was like standing on top of this one Kenku, but apparently we're not doing that anymore. So she just kind of steps off of it and stands there really awkwardly. Like, are we done? Is that it? But, like, she can't talk. She's a wolf, I guess, but she's just kind of standing there awkwardly.
Zuri's going to stop concentrating. She's going to, like, shake her head for a moment and release her suggestion on the poor Kenku that's wandering away.
Once you drop that, it will like turn around for a moment, like whip around with its short sword and then look at everything that's happening and then just quietly crouch down and lay its short sword down and stand back up and just shuffle awkwardly over, kind of giving every, like, the giant wolf a wide berth. And you are surrounded by a cluster of Kenku who, as you try and explain this, Jinx, just like look at you and just free, friend, friend, free, friend, and kind of like look at each other and kind of begin kind of chittering back and forth.
Jinx is gonna go ahead and drop her disguise self, but still keep going like, free, friend, free, friend.
They all squawk an alarm. And weirdly, Poppy, you are the only one who understands this, as in that kind of chittering language they were speaking a moment ago. One of them goes, not bird, person, not bird. And like look at each other and then like look back at her. And
so as they're doing that, she's going to realize that she kind of understands them, though it's rough. And she will communicate back to them in primordial and hope that they can understand enough of what she's saying to communicate with them. And and she'll go, yeah, that guy sucked. We're your friends, so don't hurt us. I have some food, if you'd like some food, and then you can leave.
They all kind of hesitate and nod. You get the impression that they definitely understood what you just said. You get the impression they also have been understanding Jinx. They do understand common. You just get the impression that Orin is possibly a little bit easier for some of them. You kind of hear one kind of cock its head and repeat back to you in Terran, food, leave, and then awkwardly kind of in... It's still in primordial, but in that different dialect, one of them says in a very, like, strangely human voice, like, but where will we go? And just kind of cock its head at you.
Jinx is going to look at them and go, why are you here, friends?
They will all just simultaneously look down at the pile of mushrooms and then back up at you. And one says... in kind of a mimicry of that guy's voice, just, right, we have a job to do.
What is your job?
Another one in that same voice, gotta make coin somehow.
Do you need to make coin?
They shrug and reach down and kind of pull out the pockets of the outfit they are wearing. And like one of them pulls out like some hardtack and some jerky and general things, but they don't seem to have any money on them.
Was this guy nice to you?
They all shake their head.
Poppy's gonna pop in at this point and go, look, I have a place you can maybe go. And then she'll switch into primordial because she sees that some of them understand it a little bit better. And she'll explain to them that she has a farm that she's from that nobody lives at or tends to anymore. And if they are able to work the land, it would provide them food. They won't have need of coin, really. And it's her own farm, so really, like, the only visitors they would ever get is her when she comes home.
Where is all the gold?
The gold?
Jinx is gonna try to search the pile of mushrooms.
Jinx, make investigation check. Poppy, make a persuasion check. Poppy, the Kinku kind of begin to like look at each other and kind of chitter each other and squawk. And it is a weird combination of like gestures and the occasional word and like your own voice coming out of some of their mouths saying, you know, farm, wouldn't need coin, like just a jumble of things as they try and converse in whatever mishmash amalgamation of language that they have. And while they are having this discussion, Jinx, you dig through. You are able to find a few gold. You find about 23 gold and about 14 silver. You also find a small, like, brass key.
She's going to hold up the key to the birds and go, where does this go to?
Gotta keep the chest locked.
Where is the chest?
One of them just kind of points at the cart that is... right there that seems to be like half collapsed, and one of them kind of like rushes over to the cart where it looks to collapse and kind of like pushes at it, and immediately what looks to be like some sort of spring pops back into place, and what looked before like a broken wheel just seems to be fine now.
She's gonna look for the chest and try to unlock it.
It's not hard to find. In the back there are several boxes that seem to have been taken. It's kind of a mishmash. You recognize some of them as a very similar type to the one in the first wagon you found. And you also do find a small chest. Inserting the key and twisting it, you do hear a small, like, pinging sound. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw. A needle shoots past you, just barely missing, grazing your arm, and just kind of shoots out about 20 feet and then kind of just drops to the earth. And, like, one of the Kenku squawks in, like, alarm and what you assume to be, like, apology for not warning you. But you are able to push open this luck box, which does contain 231 gold.
Do you want to go to the farm, or do you guys want to hang out with us?
Thanks for listening to Crit Like a Girl. Cover art by Chester Cat. Opening and closing music by Brian Dockery. Background music from Freesound, Incompetech, and Tabletop Audio. Follow us on Twitter at Crit Like a Girl. That's girl without the I. Don't forget to check out our Ko-Fi where you can support the show and your favorite adventurers. If you have any questions, suggestions, or recommendations, email us at critlikeagirlpod@gmail.com.